little by little, inch by inch.
Yes.
I'm thankful that's how the Lord wants to lead us. It's His desire to help us each one to make heaven our home.
Yes.
It's hard by the yard, but by the inch, it's a cinch. We need to remember those words next week when we get out there and meet up with some problems in our life.
Yes.
I have something that I kind of like the afternoon services, because I don't want to preach to you. I would like for us this afternoon to just study the Word of God. I think it's valuable for there to be times when it's not just the minister telling you what he has studied about a subject, but that we all share together. Because I found in the past in Bible studies, I will have studied a subject, and when it's open to the congregation, there are scriptures, there are examples that come in that I never even thought about. It happens even in messages, when you're hearing a message and thoughts come to you. I was thinking about the message, you know. And as it was going forth, I thought of examples in the Bible myself. You remember when Belshazzar, when Daniel was talking to him, he said, you knew. So those kind of times are times where we will hear a message or we will hear a Bible study. And I would like for the Lord to open our hearts, minds, to where we can share some examples ourselves. What I would like us to think about is waiting. One of the hardest things that we can do, probably in a Christian experience, is to wait. You know, we have not been conditioned to wait throughout our life. That's why the microwave oven came into existence. Or if you don't want to wait 15 minutes for oatmeal, you can get the quick version where you can get it in a minute. And anybody that has shopped on Amazon, it's the closest thing that you can get to I wanted it yesterday and get it quick. Now for $14 a month, you can get it quick. I've had them where I've ordered something in the evening time, late in the evening time, and they say it'll be there tomorrow, and it's there tomorrow. You know, we get to where we want things quick. Maybe I don't even have to have it tomorrow, but I sure like that thought of being able to get it quick. You know, and then the Lord comes along, and He says, you want it quick. We want it in our spiritual life, just like we do in our literal life. I would like to have it all come to me quick. You ever needed patience? And you would like the Lord, and probably others would like for you to get it quick. But you'd like for the Lord to, I'm going to sleep tonight. In the morning when I wake up, kind of like Amazon, I would like for you to have it at my doorstep in the morning. It doesn't come that way. So the Lord comes along and He works with us. How do I get patience? I've probably mentioned this to you before. He sends some things to help us to realize how I need it and how I can get it. I've probably told you, but I drive to work every day in Oklahoma City. I know about what time I can leave my house to get to work on time. But that's not accounting for road construction problems. And I can remember the day where I had left out on time. I do not like to be late. Left out with some extra time. And I got down to a place where there was an accident or something and traffic was stopped. But that's okay, I've got some extra minutes. So I keep on looking at my watch and it's getting closer, because I'll call in before I'm late. And I keep thinking, come on, get going, I can still make it. It's getting closer, and then the time comes where I realize I can't make it. And I'm kind of stewing a little bit. And about that time, I don't know if you have it on your phone, but my phone made a ding, kind of like I'm getting a message coming in. Well, I'm not traveling it, so I can go ahead and look at my phone. And I look at it, and I don't know what you want to say about this, but it's one of the closest times I believe I've ever had of God speaking to me. Because it was a ding on my phone, and I looked, and it was a Bible app that was giving me my scripture for the day. You know what it was? Ye have need of patience. And I mean, it was, whoa, Lord, okay, I got this one. I'm sitting here steaming because if the traffic would just get going, I could be there. But I'm not going to be there. And then he just reminds me. Well, I got home that evening and I thought, well, maybe he just did it special for me. So I told Cheryl about it and she said, you know what, it rang on my phone too. But it was, the timing of it was something. So what I want to, I'm interested this afternoon, and I want you to start thinking in your mind, where are scriptures, where are examples, good examples of waiting, and bad examples of waiting that can help me? Because, you know, sometimes we have pressure applied to us, and I need to do something. We've heard before about, well, do something even if it's wrong. Well, you know, sometimes that's not the way we want to do it. But sometimes when we go ahead and do something, we find out that it ended up being the wrong way. And we need the Lord to be able to guide us. So I have some scripture, but I would like for you to, and I know that because this is on Zoom, if someone would take the mic around, I would like for us when we leave this afternoon to be able to have some Word of God stored away in my heart. Because we're going to have need of patience. Because the scripture tells us God does not work on the same timetable that we do. What scripture is that? A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I believe he just wanted to make a big contrast for us. To me, 1,000 years, I can't even imagine it. But you know what? He dwells in eternity, where he's not even measuring time anyhow. But here I am measuring time. And he gives me another scripture where he says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, that's how much higher my ways and my thoughts are than yours. So, just like me sitting in the car and the Lord reminded me I have need of patience, I want to ask you as you're sitting here, can you think of a time, can you look back over your life and see where you could mark it down to how you waited and it was acceptable, and maybe how you failed to wait and the Lord had to correct you? I would like to start with a verse in Psalms 40 and 1, the first verse. The first two words are, I waited. And if we just stop the verse right there, and every one of us look at our experiences in life, there were some times where we waited. That third word in there is what's important. I remember Sister Baxter telling us, even in this meeting, about someone coming to pick her up at her house. And I think maybe even at that time she wasn't planning on going. And they waited, but they had the horn going while they're waiting. You know, sometimes we won't be blowing the horn, but while we're waiting, something can be stirring in us. This can be just regular home life. You know, something how the Lord sometimes puts opposites together. You would think the woman is the one that would be the last one out the door because she's getting ready. But Cheryl reminds me, Dan, have you noticed? I'm outside waiting. And you're still getting ready. And I thought you were almost ready when I went out to the car. Well, I was almost ready. It just takes a little longer. But I think about that. The Lord puts us together to be able to help each other. And this scripture tells, I waited. That third word, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, sometimes it is difficult. We can wait on the Lord. We're going to have to. because he has his own timetable of when he does things. But can I say that third word? I waited patiently for the Lord. Who wrote that? It's a Psalm of David. Did he ever have to wait patiently? You know, he was already, if the Bible is written chronologically, he was anointed king when he played the music for King Saul. The Spirit of the Lord had already come upon David, and the Spirit of the Lord had already left King Saul. David says here, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know how that worked? David could have so easily, with what he knew, he had already been anointed to be king. He could have, when he's playing for King Saul, because King Saul's spirit is troubled, David could have said, I know what your problem is. You're in my chair. I am the king, and you are not, and you're troubled. You know what? David let that thing go. He went on, he didn't even mention it when he went out to the battle with Goliath. And when he was given the armor of King Saul and then put it back off again. All of those things, David truly waited patiently. And it tells us how old he was when he was anointed, or I don't see how old he was when he was anointed king, but I do see where it says that he was 30 years old when he became the king. And I do see a lot of chapters where he was chased, where he was inside the cave thinking he's got protection, and King Saul walks in, and now the exit is blocked by the king that's after him. This one says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. That might have been years passing from when he started waiting patiently until he became king. So I'm thinking of that example. Gave it to God and waited patiently for God's timing. I want to ask you, can you think of another in the Bible that gives us a good example of waiting patiently? Joseph is a very good example. When Joseph had his dreams about his family bowing to him, I don't think Joseph had all the pieces of the puzzle in his mind. All he knew is, I had this dream and I told him about it. I don't see him all the time where he's going through these years. 13 years is what I see in the Bible, from the time that he was taken into slavery to the time that he was second in command in Egypt. That's a lot of years. Sometimes we will look at those years as being wasted, but instead, Joseph waited patiently, not really even knowing what the end of waiting patiently is going to be. But he committed himself to one that is faithful, and he did what he could do for others during that time. To be able to go into prison, and he's already maybe had some years pass by already, and yet he can look out at others that have a need. He could have told them, yeah, I had a dream myself, and here's where I've gotten from it. I don't understand it, and I sure can't explain yours. But I tell you what, he went to God, the one that could tell him someone else's dream, and he helped them out. Can you tell me one that did not wait patiently?
King Saul.
King Saul. I was thinking of that. You know, King Saul, you remember what was said of him? King Saul, when you were little, in your own eyes, God called for you to be king. You know what God wanted him to do was stay little in his own eyes. That verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge the Lord. You know what? If in all of Saul's ways, he would have acknowledged the Lord. But you know, when I read that story about King Saul, I have a little compassion for him. Have you ever had pressure applied to you to do something? It is time to do something now. When we read about that event with King Saul, It wasn't just that he said, I've always wanted to offer a sacrifice to the Lord, and I think I'm going to do it now. This is a good opportunity. No, there was some pressure applied. Some of his own men, after the enemy was come up against him, it was so bad that his own men were running and hiding and maybe crossing into other countries to get out of the trouble that's about to come. And Saul has an agreement with Samuel to wait for 7 days. It was the seventh day, but it wasn't the eighth day. And the pressure was applied. And as the evening time comes on, Saul says he forced himself. We can have times where pressure is applied to us with events that are happening around us. I would sure like to have the Lord be able to testify of me. He waited patiently for the Lord. Because I believe the next part of this verse is guaranteed. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He will do it if we will wait patiently for him. Does anyone have, there's another good one that I am thinking about. It always seems to be when pressure is applied where we see the gold come forth. Anybody think of another example, another good example for us when pressure has been applied? Job definitely had pressure applied to him. You know, he could have broken under that, and the last verse of Job, the first chapter, could have read so much different than it did. I believe Job waited patiently for the Lord. Job was one of the greatest, he says he was the greatest man of the East, of the men of the East. God was blessing Job. In one day's time, he lost it all. Pressure is applied to him. And how does he come out of it? He waited patiently for the Lord. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Another one that I think of is Jehoshaphat. Here is coming an army against him. And any time you read that, instead of them giving you a number of how much the enemy is, any time it tells you they're like the sand of the sea, you know it's a big old number of people that are coming. When we read about him in 2 Chronicles, because here's where we're living today, 2023, and I tell you what, pressure is applied. Here's what, you know, we can look at just world conditions around us. And we can say, you know what, we should never have a fear of anything. It says in the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, when the news was given to Jehoshaphat that there is a multitude coming, he feared. You know what, that's a normal reaction for everyone. I've got fear. But it's what I do with the fear. I read about places where other times the kings feared when the enemy is coming. You know what their fear caused them to do? Go down to Egypt and hire people to come and help them. Jehoshaphat didn't do it. He feared, but here's what he did in the third verse of the 20th chapter. He set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. I waited patiently on the Lord. You know, there's something else that I think Jehoshaphat could teach us when we have pressure that's applied to us. And while we're waiting on the Lord, Jehoshaphat had a little prayer that he prayed to God. And he spent a little time at the beginning of the prayer magnifying who God is and how he was able to take care of any problem. Look at this in the sixth verse. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And he just kind of goes on and on. God, I want to remind you how great you are. And then he comes on down. We're in trouble here. And it says in the 12th verse, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. What's the best thing to do when I don't know what to do? Wait. That's the time for me to be waiting patiently. And that's what he did. Can you imagine this picture if I were there with my family and with my grandchildren and all? Because look at how it's told here. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judas, they stood before the Lord. They weren't out trying to get weapons, get ready for a fight. They stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children, waiting patiently for the Lord to be able to deliver them. And he did deliver them. What verse would you use? I think it's really important for us to store away scripture, not just in our head, but in our heart, for different events that could happen, that the Lord would be able to bring them up. When I read the verse that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. You know what? I need to have some verses stored away in my mind, because it is not going to come natural to me when trouble hits for me to wait patiently for the Lord. So I need to have some scriptures that just quickly will come to my mind. Do you have any that if we were this afternoon going to store away some scriptures in the box of our mind to be able to come back, it's going to be real needful for me, because the pressure is going to be applied. And when the pressure's on, it's not a time then to start building. When we lived down in Louisiana, it was so different than here in Oklahoma. Here we have tornadoes. And I like to watch on the little screen where they'll tell you, if this tornado continues to track the way it's going right now, it'll be in this town at this minute. It'll be in this town at this minute. And if it continues to track, it'll be in your area at this minute. Well, that's kind of neat to watch. God's in control of all that, and I get to watch that also when it says, okay, it's shifted now and it's going a different path, so if it continues this way, it'll do this. Well, that's kind of nice to have that warning. But you know, a hurricane is totally different. They're able to look out there 2 or 3 days ahead and do the same thing. You know, it's really kind of a hurricane is just one huge tornado out over water, heading for land. But they can a couple days ahead of time tell you, this thing is heading it. We expect landfall in Biloxi at a certain time if it continues like it is. You know, you could have 2 days to prepare. There is a time for preparing, and there is a time when it is too late to prepare. There is enough time to run down and get lumber if everybody else hasn't already gotten it and put it over your windows. But I never saw anybody outside when it hit, trying to walk across the yard with a 4x8 sheet of plywood to get it on their window. It's too late now. You know, there's kind of times in our life where there's a time for me to store away the Word of God, and he bring it up to be my help before the trouble. There is sometimes when I'm just trying to survive it and get on the other side. I can remember when that storm would hit. You know, it is like a huge tornado, except it's miles across. And they would tell you, okay, it's hitting now. And I mean, the wind would be blowing and it would be knocking over trees. And then in a little while, it would be perfectly still. There would not be a bit of breeze. There would be nothing. And at that time, they'd warn you, do not go outside. This churning, you're in the eye right now. You will get the other side of it here in just a little bit. Folks, we have things come into our life where we sure need the Lord to be able to help us out. And many times when I hit the trouble, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord. I think what he's wanting me to do is acknowledge, Lord, I tell you what, I need you right here. You tell me to wait patiently. You give me examples in the scriptures where others did it, but it does not come natural. I think Amazon learned that waiting patiently does not come natural, and they capitalized on it because so many people said, I am so willing to pay $15 a month because I want it today, if possible. You know, I can get to where I want the Lord to answer me like Amazon. Lord, I tell you what, I got this problem. I want it solved today. And throughout the scripture, over and over again, it talks to me about waiting. Does anyone have a scripture that we could store away? Okay. That'd be Hebrews 12:1. We are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. You know, I like to think that that great cloud of witnesses was not just the 11th chapter of Hebrews, but we have had a lot of years pass between then and now. And I have a great cloud of witnesses just that I have known in my lifetime. Faithful people, just with this subject that we're talking about today, that learned how to wait on the Lord. And you know, I really would not like for it to pass time and people look back over my life and say, in a future Bible study here, and say, can you give me some examples of faithful people that waited? Okay, yes, okay. Now, can you give me examples of those that couldn't wait and my name get mentioned? I'd like to learn from these times, because all of us are going to be under pressure sometime. So that Hebrews 12, seeing we are compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses, now let's do something. Let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, realizing that this is not a 50-yard dash. This is a marathon. What if you lined up at the starting line of a race and they would not tell you if the end is 50 yards or it's what, the 26-mile marathon or something? You know, you would run them different if you knew. If you knew it's a 50-yard, you just put everything you can into it. But I tell you what, if you thought it was going to be the 50-yard and it's the 26-mile, or if you thought it was a 1 mile and you find out it's more, you're winded. I've watched in Tulsa, the company that I worked for sponsored a 5K race. And I would watch, they would bring in people, there'd be people come in from all over the country, and many of them were experts at racing. And I thought, I'm watching them. They're gonna run off and leave this pack far behind. And when the gun shot off, there were just beginners leaving them behind. They're sprinting. Those guys, those beginners, had to feel good. I saw this guy, he used to win big races, and I'm two blocks ahead of him right now. You know what that experienced when realized? The race is not to the swift. We're going to need some energy on down the road a little ways. Because what they find is that one that he is running so far ahead, that was for maybe 1 mile, and then he's laid out on the side while the other one just comes trotting right on by. We have had, they have a deal at work that is called, it's a competition. It's called Dare to Stare. And I work in an office building that is 21 stories, one of the buildings, and right connected beside it is a 16-story building. People will come in from all over the country to compete in running the stairs. And when they clip, it's professional enough that they'll clip on so they can make sure you don't cross over in a stairwell somewhere and say you won. So what they do is they start off, when the person starts, he runs up the stairs of one building, 21 floors, goes across and comes down 21 floors and runs over to the other building. He goes up 16 floors, crosses over and comes back down 16 floors, and he runs across the street. And that building is 31 floors. He runs up 31 floors and comes back down, and hopefully he's going to make it back to the finish line. Those people that have trained for it, they'll let the others go on by. Of course, then they have to try to get by them in the stairwell after they're winded. But I have seen people that started out running it a slow pace, but when they finished the whole thing, they came trotting back across to the finish line the same speed that they started it out with. Kind of like they were saying, would you mind if I go ahead and run it again? Because what did they do? They ran it with some patience. They realized, you know what, this thing is not over in just 5 stories. I've got a lot of climbing to do. It's going to be real important for us to realize this race that we're running could be for a long time. It's our lifetime. And I need to be able to learn to wait patiently. So that is a good verse in 12 and 1 of Hebrews. Let us run it with patience. Anyone have another verse that we would store away? Okay, Psalms 27 and 14. Okay, and if anyone has another while we're getting that one, you can be ready. Okay. So Psalms 27 and, okay, let's back up. If we're thinking about that stairwell run, let's back up to the 13th verse. I had fainted. I'd have passed out in the stairwell of life. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. 14th verse, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. I've heard back maybe even when I was a child, a minister telling us about the preparations for going to a meeting. And he's rushing around. He's got to be gone by a certain time. And he's rushing around to get everything loaded and get going. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, if you'll wait a little bit, I'll go with you. You know how many times in our life when I need the Lord real bad and I think I've got to do something quick. And the Lord might be saying in that still small voice, if you just wait a little bit, I'll go with you. Okay, maybe there was another verse. Okay, go ahead.
Take my brethren the prophets. Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
The Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. There's some examples that have been left us of, we don't have to go back to the Old Testament, even to the New Testament, of faithful people that have learned. You know what? This is not, I think of this song, I'm Learning to Lean. It's not about when I came to the altar and got saved, I got everything I needed to be able to wait patiently on the Lord. I learned to be able to do it. And some of those places I learn is when I don't have the patience that I needed to wait on the Lord. Okay, does anyone have another?
Psalms 41.
Okay. Okay, and what's the next verse to that one? Okay, that's all right. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me. Isaiah 40 and 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, this has a word, a positive word in it. It's not that if you'll try this, it might happen. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. This has a word, shall, in it. That's just a promise. If this formula is followed, this will be the result. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a song that I've heard before that has this verse in it. And it ends, that chorus uses this verse in it. But it has another little clip right at the end of what this verse would be saying. And it says, teach me, Lord, to wait. I want him to be able to teach me. Anyone have another? Or another example? Does it?
In your patience, possessing your soul.
In your patience. That's another good one. In your patience, possess ye your souls. I like to think of this as an opportunity to store away God's word, because I have had him to bring them back to me again at times when I need it. You know, as we get older, maybe our memory starts failing and we can't remember things, but I'm so glad that the Lord is able to bring it back to us at the time when we need it. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Okay, anyone else?
Perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Okay. Let patience. So it's telling us patience does something for us. Let patience have her perfect work. It's going to make some changes in who I am. Patience is going to help me to be able to wait on the Lord until I get an answer from him. In your patience, possess your soul. Anyone have another verse?
Psalm 37:7 says, rest to the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
Okay. So we're finding a lot of scriptures. They may not say anything about waiting, but they do say patience, and those are going to be tied real close together. For me to be able to wait on the Lord, it is going to require some patience. There is a scripture in Hebrews 4 and 9. It's just a real, real small piece. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Right in the middle of this turmoil, when Jehoshaphat knows the multitude is coming, and he fears just like we will fear when something is about to happen, but he set himself to seek the Lord. I believe there remains a rest for the people of God when I come to the place that I wait on the Lord with the problem that I have, patiently waiting for him to answer. Okay, any other before we close? In the 13 years that Joseph waited, he really didn't know what he was waiting for. I believe what he did was he just had his heart set to live for God. I've had these two dreams, and I imagine there were some times that he wished he had never told what the dream was. He probably had 13 years to think about, oh, I wish I was a little bit older and just kept that dream to myself, because it caused him a lot of difficulty. Or did it cause it because of the dream? You know what? That dream may have been just part of the plan that God was using to move him throughout life, to have him prepared 17 years later, or 13 years later, have him prepared for the position that he wanted to put him in. You know what? The Lord may take some time with us and cause some things that I wish it would never happen. Or I can look back and say, I wish I hadn't said this or did this. Now, there are some times where it would have been better if we hadn't. But you know what? The Lord takes some things and he allows some things to come into our life, just like with Joseph, that takes him through paths, sold as a slave. I can just see his picture right now in my mind. When his brothers finally have compassion on him and they pull him up out of the pit, I can see him thanking them. You know, surely it was a mistake that I fell in or something. Thanking them for getting him out until he sees the money changing hands and realizing what the future holds now. I'm going into slavery. But I watch him. We just get little snapshots every once in a while of Joseph waiting patiently on the Lord to work out the details of his life. None of us know what tomorrow holds for us. When I talked to Brother Rick Cox, you know, he was just out on a regular day's work. He said they were pulling some sheetrock down from a ceiling. He wasn't like on a roof 30 foot up or something. They were just on step ladders pulling down some old sheetrock when he fell. And they told him, said, "We've got some good news and some bad news." Said, "Your hip is not broken, but your pelvis is. And you're going to be here for a long, long time in this condition." He's at home now. And you know what? He is going through this lesson that we're working on this afternoon for us. Waiting patiently on the Lord. You know, I can go back to Jehoshaphat. I can go back to many other people. But you know, I know some people in my own life that waited patiently for the Lord to work out the details of the trouble that they were faced in. And I say, Lord, help me. I desire your prayers. Okay, go ahead.
Maybe this would be a little warning to us. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. You know, he knew he was supposed to wait and see if they came. He didn't wait. He wanted to go. And it cost him his soul.
That was the only detail that went wrong for him. The Lord told him, if they come to you, you can go with them. He could have gone if they had come. I think the Lord had known they were not going to come, and he's just waiting to see what he does. For us, may we learn to wait on the Lord. It's one of the toughest things, because even Amazon has learned about human nature. I want it quick. I want it fast. I would love to have it yesterday if I could have gotten it yesterday. That can be the same thing about us spiritually. Lord, I want an answer to this problem that I have. I'd like for it to be gone tomorrow. But sometimes the Lord wants us to learn to wait patiently. I desire your prayers.